Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the September 2nd, 2022 episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host, and here we are gathered this morning to spend some time in prayer and devotion and the Word of God. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. I do want to say thank you to any that heard and has sent up prayers for my wife. I'm very, very grateful for that, as is she. And let's get to reading. Again, our first one this morning, as we do every morning, is going to be a prayer from Valley of Vision. It's called Resting on God. And as I've done before, I'm going to put the links to everything I'm going to read in the show notes so you can follow along, which I would definitely recommend. So again, resting on God. O God, most high, most glorious, the thought of thine infinite serenity cheers me, for I am toiling and moiling, troubled and distressed. But thou art forever at perfect peace. Thy designs cause thee no fear or care of unfulfillment. They stand fast as the eternal hills. Thy power knows no bond, thy goodness no stint. Thou bringest order out of confusion, and my defeats are thy victories. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I come to thee as a sinner with cares and sorrows, to leave every concern entirely to thee. Every sin calling for Christ's precious blood, revive deep spirituality in my heart. Let me live near to the great shepherd, hear his voice, know its tones, follow its calls. Keep me from deception by causing me to abide in the truth, from harm by helping me to walk in the power of the Spirit. Give me intenser faith in the eternal verities, burning into me by experience the things I know. Let me never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel, that I may bear its reproach, vindicate it, see Jesus as its essence, know in it the power of the Spirit. Lord, help me, for I am often lukewarm and chill. Unbelief mars my confidence. Sin makes me forget thee. Let the weeds that grow in my soul be cut at their roots. Grant me to know that I truly live only when I live to thee, that all else is trifling. Thy presence alone can make me holy, devout, strong, and happy. Abide in me, gracious God. And now, grace in trials, as we do each morning. Father of mercies, hear me for Jesus' sake. I am sinful, even in my closest walk with thee. It is of thy mercy I died not long ago. Thy grace has given me faith in the cross by which thou hast reconciled thyself to me and me to thee, drawing me by thy great love, reckoning me as innocent in Christ, though guilty in myself. Giver of all graces, I look to thee for strength to maintain them in me, for it is hard to practice what I believe. Strengthen me against temptations. My heart is an unexhausted fountain of sin, a river of corruption since childhood days, flowing on in every pattern of behavior. Thou hast disarmed me of the means in which I trusted, and I have no strength but in thee. Thou alone canst hold back my evil ways, but without thy grace to sustain me, I fall. Satan's darts quickly inflame me, and the shield that should quench them easily drops from my hand. Empower me against his wiles and assaults. Keep me sensible of my weakness and of my dependence upon thy strength. Let every trial teach me more of thy peace, more of thy love. Thy Holy Spirit is given to increase thy graces, and I cannot preserve or improve them unless he works continually in me. May he confirm my trust and thy promised help, and let me walk humbly in dependence upon thee for Jesus' sake. Excuse me. Needed a sip of water there. And finally, in our prayers this morning, We're going to do the sixth day morning. It's called the gospel again. Sunday being the first day. So sixth day would be Friday morning. It's called the gospel. O thou most high, creator of the ends of the earth, governor of the universe, judge of all men, head of the church, savior of sinners. Thy greatness is unsearchable, thy goodness infinite, thy compassions unfailing, thy providence boundless, thy mercies ever new. We bless thee for the words of salvation. How important, suitable, encouraging are the doctrines, promises, and invitations of the gospel of peace. We are lost, but in it thou hast presented to us a full, free, and eternal salvation. Weak, but here we learn that help is found in one that is mighty. Poor, but in him we discover unsearchable riches. Blind, but we find he has treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We thank thee for thy unspeakable gift. Thy Son is our only refuge, foundation, hope, confidence. We depend upon his death, rest in his righteousness, desire to bear his image. May his glory fill our minds, his love reign in our affections, his cross inflame us with ardor. Let us as Christians fill our various situations in life, escape the snares to which they expose us, discharge the duties that arise from our circumstances, enjoy with moderation their advantages, improve with diligence their usefulness, and may every place and company we are in be benefited by us. Amen. And now, the Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. From there is the September 2nd morning devotion. And the scripture for it is from Mark 1:30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And that's them telling Christ of her. So here's the devotional. Very interesting is this little peep into the house of the apostolic fisherman. We see at once that household joys and cares are no hindrance to the full exercise of ministry. Nay, that since they furnish an opportunity for personally witnessing the Lord's gracious work upon one's own flesh and blood, they may even instruct the teacher better than any other earthly discipline. Papists and other sectaries may decry marriage, but true Christianity and household life agree well together. Peter's house was probably a poor fisherman's hut, but the Lord of glory entered it, lodged in it, and wrought a miracle in it. Should our little book be read this morning in some very humble cottage, let this fact encourage the inmates to seek the company of King Jesus. God is oftener in little huts than in rich palaces. Jesus is looking round your room now and is waiting to be gracious to you. Into Simon's house, sickness had entered. Fever in a deadly form had prostrated his mother-in-law. And as soon as Jesus came, they told him of the sad affliction, and he hastened to the patient's bed. Have you any sickness in the house this morning? You will find Jesus by far the best physician. Go to him at once and tell him all about the matter. Immediately lay the case before him. It concerns one of his people, and therefore will not be trivial to him. Observe that at once the Savior restored the sick woman. None can heal as he does. We may not make sure that the Lord will at once remove all disease from those we love, but we may know that believing prayer for the sick is far more likely to be followed by restoration than anything else in the world. And where this avails not, we must meekly bow to his will, by whom life and death are determined. The tender heart of Jesus waits to hear our griefs. Let us pour them into his patient ear. Wow. How awesome is our God. As I mentioned yesterday and today, my wife is sick, and this is exactly what we have done, is brought it to him in prayer as it occurred. And how wonderful and how amazing is the providence of God that he would then place this devotion before my eyes today, and how blessed I am by him. So I'm very, very, very grateful. And here, I'm going to take another drink of water, because obviously you can tell I'm struggling with my throat today for some reason. Okay, we're going to start our scripture readings from Robert Murray McShane's Read Through the Bible in a Year plan. Our verses for today, and so this would be the September 2nd part of his Bible reading plan. Our readings today are from 1 Samuel 26, 1 Corinthians 7, Ezekiel 5, and Psalm 42 and 43. So 1 Samuel 26. And again, this is after David has finally left Saul. And so Saul seems to keep hunting after David, can't seem to let go of that. Then the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding on the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon?" So Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel, to search for David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul camped in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon, beside the road. Now David was staying in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. So David sent out spies and knew that Saul was certainly coming. David then arose and came to the place where Saul had camped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, as well as Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of his army. And Saul was lying in the circle of the camp, and the people were camped around him. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping inside the circle of the camp with his spear stuck in the ground at his head, and Abner and the people were lying around him. Then Abishai said to David, "Today God has surrendered your enemy into your hand. So now please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the anointed of Yahweh and be without guilt?" David also said, "As Yahweh lives, surely Yahweh will smite him, or his day will come that he dies, or he will go down into battle and be swept away. Yahweh forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the anointed of Yahweh. But now please take the spear that is at his head and the jug of water and let us go." So David took the spear and the jug of water from beside Saul's head, and they went away. But no one saw or knew it, nor did any awake, for they were all asleep, because a sound sleep from Yahweh had fallen on them. Then David crossed over to the other side and stood on top of the mountain at a distance with a large area between them. And David called to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Will you not answer Abner?" Then Abner answered and said, "Who are you who calls to the king?" So David said to Abner, "Are you not a man? And who is like you in Israel? Why then have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the people came to destroy the king, your lord. The thing that you have done is not good. As Yahweh lives, all of you must surely die because you did not keep watch over your lord, the anointed of Yahweh. So now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was at his head." Then Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord the king." He also said, "Why then is my lord pursuing his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? So now please let my lord the king listen to the words of his servant. If Yahweh has incited you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is men, cursed are they before Yahweh, for they have driven me out today so that I would have no attachment with the inheritance of Yahweh, saying, 'Go serve other gods.' So now do not let my blood fall to the ground away from the presence of Yahweh. For the king of Israel has come out to search for a single flea, just as one pursues a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will not harm you again, because my life was precious in your sight this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have committed a serious error." And David replied, "Behold the spear of the king. Now let one of the young men come over and take it. Now Yahweh will repay each man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. For Yahweh gave you into my hand today, but I was not willing to send forth my hand against the anointed of Yahweh. Now behold, as your life was highly valued in my sight this day, so may my life be highly valued in the sight of Yahweh, and may he deliver me from all distress. Then Saul said to David, blessed are you, my son David. You will both accomplish much and surely prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Now, 1 Corinthians 7. Now, concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. But because of sexual immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer, and come together again, so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But this I say as a concession, not as a command. Yet I wish that all men were even as I myself am. However, each man for his own gift from God, one this way and another that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows that it is good for them if they remain even as I. But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. But to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. But if she does leave, she must remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband should not divorce his wife. But to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever, and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And a woman who has an unbelieving husband, and he consents to live with her, she must not divorce her husband. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband. For otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy. Yet if the unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or the sister is not enslaved in such cases. But God has called us to peace. For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each in this manner, let him walk. And so I direct in all the churches. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you are able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. Now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. I think then that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I am trying to spare you. But this I say, brothers, the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who cry as though they did not cry, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it. For the form of this world is passing away. But I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests have been divided.
The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Now this I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote propriety and undistracted devotion to the Lord. But if any man thinks that he is acting unbecomingly toward his virgin daughter, if she is past her youth, and it must be so, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let her marry. But he who stands firm in his heart, being under no compulsion, but has authority over his own will, and has decided this in his heart, to keep his own virgin daughter, he will do well. So then both he who gives his own virgin daughter in marriage does well, and he who does not give her in marriage will do better. A wife is bound as long as her husband lives, but if her husband has fallen asleep, she is free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But in my opinion, she is happier if she remains as she is, and I think that I also have the Spirit of God. In Ezekiel 5, let me take a drink of water here real quick. Okay. Ezekiel 5. Now as for you, son of man, take a sharp sword, take and use it as a barber's razor on your head and beard. Then take scales for weighing and divide the hair. One third you shall burn in the fire at the center of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled. Then you shall take one third and strike it with the sword all around the city, and one third you shall scatter to the wind, and I will unsheath the sword behind them. You shall also take a few in number from them and bind them in the edges of your robes. Take again some of them and throw them into the fire and burn them in the fire. From it a fire will spread to all the house of Israel. Thus says Lord Yahweh, this is Jerusalem. I have set her at the center of the nations, with lands all around her. But she has rebelled against my judgments more wickedly than the nations, and against my statutes more than the lands which are all around her. For they have rejected my judgments and have not walked in my statutes. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, because you have more turmoil than the nations which are all around you, and have not walked in my statutes, nor done my judgments, nor done the judgments of the nations which are all around you. Therefore thus says Lord Yahweh, behold, I, even I, am against you, and I will execute judgments among you in the sight of the nations, and I will do among you what I have not done, and the like of which I will never do again because of all your abominations. Therefore fathers will eat their sons among you, and sons will eat their fathers, for I will execute judgments on you and scatter all your remnant to every wind. So as I live, declares Lord Yahweh, surely because you have defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable idols, with all your abominations, therefore I will also withdraw, and my eye will have no pity, and I will not spare. One third of you will die by the plague, or be consumed by the famine among you. One third will fall by the sword around you, and one third I will scatter to every wind, and I will unsheath a sword behind them. Thus my anger will be spent, and I will cause my wrath against them to be at rest, and I will be appeased. Then they will know that I, Yahweh, have spoken in my zeal when I have spent my wrath upon them. Moreover, I will make you a ruin and reproach among the nations which are all around you, in the sight of all who pass by. So it will be a reproach, a reviling, a chastisement, and a desecration to the nations who are all around you when I execute judgments against you in anger, wrath, and wrathful reproofs. I, Yahweh, have spoken. When I send against them the deadly arrows of famine, which were for the destruction of those whom I will send to destroy you, then I will also intensify the famine upon you and break the staff of bread. Moreover, I will send on you famine and wild beasts, and they will bereave you of children. Plague and bloodshed also will pass through you, and I will bring the sword on you. I, Yahweh, have spoken. All right. And now we're going to do Psalm 42 and 43. All right, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with the sound of a shout of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall still praise him, for the salvation of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan, and the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. By day, Yahweh will command his loving kindness, and by night, his song will be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall still praise him, the salvation of my presence and my God. And Psalm 43. Give justice to me, O God, and plead my case against an unholy nation. O protect me from the deceitful and unrighteous man. For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Wait for God, for I shall still praise him, the salvation of my presence and my God. Amen. So that completes our reading for the day. Again, the reading was in the Legacy Standard Bible. It's the most recent translation and the most accurate, texturally accurate translation of the Bible. And I'm glad we've been able to have this time together this morning, particularly in light of what came out of the White House last night. And I'm not here to make any kind of political statements, but I can say what I've heard was the most unchristian, ungodly spewing of bile that I've ever heard in my life. And in times like this, we need to have, and I'm not saying that whether you like the guy or not or whatever. Again, I'm not trying to make a political point, but it was the most ungodly, unchristian spewing of bile I've ever heard in my life. And it's in times like these where we need to be in these prayers. That's why I'm trying to bring these each morning, these prayers, particularly, you know, the first two prayers, resting on God and grace in trials and valley of vision. Obviously Christ is our rock, but they tend to help me recenter. And again, between that and staying in the word and reminding myself that God is sovereign. God is sovereign over all this. God has ordained all of this. And for those of us who believe, he has ordained it for our good. We may not understand how it's going to provide our good, but he has ordained all things for our good, for our walk of sanctification, for purifying, for us, for refining us in the fire. And for those that are unsaved, there is hope. He gave his son, his only begotten son, to pay the price of your sins, of my sins, of all sins of those who will be saved. To pay that price, to pay that debt so that we didn't have to, so that we can stand before God holy and blameless because we're draped in the righteousness of Christ. And Lord, I would beg you to come to the Lord, to hit your knees and to beg forgiveness and to beg that God would send the Holy Spirit into you to regenerate you and to bring you to a saving faith in Christ. So, for all of you, that's what I would pray for. So let us go ahead and pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I've been so blessed to be able to sit down this morning and to share this with any that would listen. And Lord, I would pray that they would be blessed as well. And Lord, I would pray that in these times, that this time with the scriptures and prayer and the devotion, that these would truly keep us on the narrow path, that they would truly make us the Christian role models we need to be, the Christian witness we need to be in this society. And Lord, I would pray that this time this morning would bless our days. In your name we pray. Amen. May you go out and have a great day today. May, as any number of podcasters I've seen use this, but I agree with it totally, that all that you do today, do for the glory of God. May God bless your day.